Our scripture lesson this morning is from Proverbs 17, verse 17, and then I think verse 5. Would you bring that up? Friends love at all times, and families stick together through adversity. And then verse 5, those who mock the poor insult the Creator. Would you pray with me? God, it's already been such a great morning. We thank you for everything that goes on in this service. We ask your blessings now as we reflect together in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are new, we've been looking the last several weeks at some Proverbs. One of you sent me Proverbs, Wisdom of Six-Year-Olds. Let me just read four or five of these. Don't change horses until they stop running. Strike while the bug is close. It's always darkest before daylight savings time. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. If you lie down with dogs, you'll stink in the morning. Two's company, three's the musketeers. Let's see. Don't put off till tomorrow what you put on to go to bed. Not sure what that one's about. All right. Speaking of six-year-olds, Jan is away this weekend and at a retreat that she does each year with her sister down in Leesburg. And Friday was our daughter-in-law's birthday. And so Darren asked if we could watch the kids. So we ended up, Holden came with me and the other two went with Gary, Krista's dad. And so I was looking forward to Holden playing some football and this and that. He didn't get there until after football practice, about 7 o'clock. And I called Krista and said, see, is that going in and out a little bit? Maybe I better stay here. I said, does he like turkey lunch meat? She said, yeah. So I had bought some grapes. I know he liked that and some other things. I forget what all. And turkey sandwich. So I had the sandwich all made for him. And he looked at it and said, this isn't lunch. Why are we having sandwiches? I said, you mean you've never had a sandwich for supper? This will be the first time. Remind me not to come back until Nana gets home. No, he didn't say that. Oh, boy, kids. It was fun. Chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and families stick together through adversity. The three F's, faith, family, and friends, and so many of you responded to the email by affirming that going through whatever time of crisis it is, and many of us have lived long enough to have experienced something where at the rock bottom value is faith, the faith that sustains you. You may not understand what's going on, but you know God is there for you. A family, how they come together in times of adversity, and friends. So many people have said, I don't know how I would have gotten through without faith, family, and friends. Susan Somerville called in and just shared with Carmen, just tell again the people of Trinity how much their family, their prayers mean to us. Nanette Carnes reiterated that several times to me, how incredibly important. I've thought, though, and I've wondered, when we say welcome home for new people, do you feel the closeness, or are you wondering if this is really a family? And I just want to try to say that we try to do the best we can. If you'll meet us part way, if you'll reach out in some measure. In the first service, somebody was brand new, and about 10 people from the Fisherman Sunday School class just sort of swooped onto them to invite them to that person to their class. We're not perfect, but we'll do the best we can. And if you're in the hospital and you let us know, Rosemary Davis and Pat Kilby and their team will be there for you. I also got another email. And since I'm so good at this iPhone, Let me just see here. Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. Oh no. Just a minute. Hey, stop laughing. Oh, here it is. This is from Cindy Cape, and many of you know Cindy. I spent time last evening with Linda Doyle at Shands. Now, Linda is the wife of Jim Doyle, who just passed, but Jim's from Hope Sound. And sometimes we'll get calls. Often we'll get calls from around the state if we could visit people. I spent last evening with Linda Doyle at Shands at her dying husband's bedside, which was surrounded with family and friends. Truly, faith, family, and friends have been Linda's focus for weeks now. And the circle of family and friends has grown over their weeks in Shands as our Trinity family has adopted them and loved them through really tough times. When her children have to go home to their families and jobs, they go having seen a daily stream of Trinity family surrounding their mom and their dad. Rosellen has housed them. We've all fed them, prayed with them, sung with them. And in so doing, we've ministered to everyone on the 10th floor. What a family we are at Trinity. Powerful stuff. You remember perhaps the story I shared a couple of years ago about Tim and Kyle. Remember Kyle was the young boy just entering high school, was going home on the weekend carrying this huge stack of books, and Tim noticed him and thought, what a nerd. And a group of other older boys noticed him, came charging at him, knocked him down, books went everywhere. Tim came over and said something about what jerks they are and said, come on, let me help you. And they began to walk, and they found out they lived in the same neighborhood. They eventually became very, very close friends, doing lots of things together. Tim went off to a scholarship to play sports at Duke, and Kyle was the valedictorian and went off to Georgetown. And as the valedictorian, he was asked to give the graduation speech, and in his speech he stood up and said, you know, this is the time to thank family and friends, but I want to thank one particular person most of all. And he asked Tim, would you stand? And he said, what you didn't know and nobody else has known is that day that I dropped all the books and got ran over, I had all those books because it was Friday. I was cleaning up my locker. I was so depressed. I was going to end my life. But your friendship saved my life. Powerful stuff. We can't underestimate, it seems to me, the value of Proverbs 17:17, that friends, how important friendships are. And then in verse 9 of 17, it says this, overlook an offense and bond a friendship, but fasten on to a slight and goodbye friend. It's true, isn't it? Friendships, relationships require overlooking some things, of ignoring some things or letting them go by. Mistakes are made and stuff happens. I wonder if you've ever jeopardized a meaningful friendship because you were unwilling to overlook something. Maybe it's not too late. So friendship is really important, but what I'm wondering and feel led to do today is to take friendship to a little further, a lot farther. God and Jesus and this book, the whole in our gospel, are pushing us, pushing me in ways that I'm not yet fully comprehending where it will go. It's very powerful. I'm not sure what God is asking us to do. But I've wondered about friendship. I've wondered how differently we would view others out there, removed from us, emotionally or geographically or in other countries, or in other cultures, or in other ways of looking at life. Would we view them differently if we didn't see them as the infamous they, but as we saw them as friends? If we drew them close to us, how different would the world be? Richard Stearns, in his powerful book, The Hole in Our Gospel, for years thought of the children who were dying of AIDS in Africa as out there, over there, in a foreign country that he maybe felt sorry for, but felt no compulsion to really be engaged in. And then as he became president of World Vision, he found himself sitting in a thatched hut with three small children, Richard, 13, and his two younger siblings, that he was becoming the parent for because his parents had died. And now he was trying to raise these children as a 13-year-old in a hut with no electricity, no running water, and no beds to sleep on. And suddenly Richard Stern's life was about to change because the they out there in Africa became Richard, his own name. And isn't it true when you and I know each other as friends, we do things that we wouldn't necessarily ordinarily do because of the nature of friendship. We are there for one another. And so Richard's life was changed. It was changed because now he knew Richard. They had become friends, and he couldn't any longer disregard the plight of Richard and others. It seems to me, I'm wondering, if we see people groups as friends, it changes everything, doesn't it? It happens on every mission trip, every ASP trip. When you go and actually mingle and mix with people and get to know them and become somewhat friends with them, they no longer are Nicaraguans or Guatemalans or Hondurans or Mexicans. They have a first name and you've engaged with them, and it's different. Years ago, we referred to persons as handicapped. And something didn't feel right about that, and we changed that nomenclature to persons with disabilities. And we're blessed in this church to have friends whom we know. And so that changes our whole perspective. I remember soon after our daughter's accident, somebody I knew pretty well said, "The whole Americans with Disability Act has gotten out of hand of what they're requiring people to do." And I said, "You know, we look at that a little differently than you do." Because we knew somebody. We know somebody. In his book, Richard Stearns asked us to imagine what would happen if one day 100 jetliners suddenly crashed and 26,500 people were killed. You can imagine the congresses, the leaders of the world, the FBI, the CIA, the National Transportation Safety Board. Everybody would pull out all the stops to figure out what caused this crisis. And then he asked us to imagine the next day 100 more planes go down, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, just like that. It's unimaginable that something this terrible would happen. But as he says, as unimaginable as it is, it did happen yesterday, and it will happen today, and it will happen tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And there'll be no media coverage and no headlines, and no heads of states will converge. Yet more than 26,500 children died yesterday of preventable causes related to their poverty. 26,500 children died yesterday because of preventable causes related to poverty. And it will happen again today and tomorrow and the next day. How can this be? He says, because they're not our kids. We don't know them. They're far away. Later, Richard Stearns mentions a book by the journalist Susan Mueller called Compassion Fatigue, which most people have. In it, she quoted a shocking statement she found often repeated in newsrooms around the country. Here it is. Brace yourself. Quote, "In the news business, one dead fireman in Brooklyn is worth 5 English bobbies, which are worth 50 Arabs, which are worth 500 Africans." What a terrible equation, but often terribly accurate. He says, if we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that we simply have less empathy for people of other cultures, people who are different than we, people who we can label as they. And it helps if they're further geographically away than if they're close. But if someone were our friend who was in trouble, we would be there right away, wouldn't we? I don't know where God is taking us as a church. I don't know where God is leading me or you as we journey through the hole in our gospel. I have a confession to make. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, but it's true. I remember a point in my ministry where I said to myself, I'm not sure I'm able to preach on some of Jesus' sayings in the Sermon on the Mount and other teachings, because I'm not sure I can follow what he's going to challenge me to do. Because Jesus won't let us rest. He pushes us. That something's happened to me, and we're going to roll up our sleeves and go where He wants us to go. And try to do what He wants us to do. I'm absolutely convinced, absolutely, that Jesus wants us to see people as He saw them and sees them, not as ambiguous groups that can so easily be dismissed or stereotyped or put down or disregarded. I hope you'll pray for me as I pray for you as we earnestly seek God's will. We do know a lot, don't we? We know what Jesus wants to some degree. He told that famous parable in Matthew 25 where the Son of Man comes back and sits on His throne and He gathers the sheep in one side and the goats in the other. And He says this, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in and I needed clothes and you clothed me and I was sick and you looked after me and I was in prison and you visited me. And I just wondered since yesterday if what He's talking about is, you see, once we visit somebody in prison, prisons become different and prisoners become different. We know somebody. And once you visit somebody who's poor and is hungry and you become friends with them, it draws it closer and it's not only ministering to who Jesus is, Jesus in them, but it's ministering, it changes our look. Wow. We treat each other like friends. One final word with friends and then I'll wrap up. Remember in John chapter 15, and if you would bring that up, Alex, Jesus in chapter 13 has just had the Last Supper, which we'll celebrate here today on the first Sunday of the month. Bring up the John 15, yeah. That's in chapter 13. He washes the disciples' feet and then He promises the Holy Spirit in chapter 14. Then in 15, He's moved out into maybe the Garden of Gethsemane or a vineyard, and he points out, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And then He says these words, this is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Go on, Alex. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And every time I've read this, I just stepped back sort of, not callously, but cavalierly perhaps, sometimes said, gee, it's great that Jesus laid down His life for me. But today when I read it, I thought, well, maybe the reverse plays in here. Maybe as our friends, He expects us to do something similar. Maybe we have an obligation. Maybe if we accept His friendship, then we got to become friends with the poor and the naked and the lonely and imprisoned. Let's read on. You are My friends if you do what I command you. Go on, Alex, would you? I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends because I made known to you everything that I have heard from My Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed. Hey, I'm good, but I'm not that good, Alex. Alex, can you bring up that last? Thanks for keeping me on my feet. One more. There you go. But anyway, you got the idea. He calls us friends. I presume it's us. I hope it's us. I mean, think about that. God calls us friends. Ephesians says, at one time we were far off. At one time we were strangers. At one time we were way beyond God, way away from God as sinners, but He's brought us to Himself as friends. And what comes with being a friend of Jesus? I think He's going to push us. He's going to push us in ways that I don't yet know where they will take us, but I thank God for it. Would you pray with me? God, as we prepare to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, I want first to begin by making my own confession of sins of, primarily of omission, compassion, fatigue, whatever name we put on it, but of seeing them and not being open to personal friendships and what might go with that with others. Oh God, you've given us so much. We don't want to live with guilt, but we want to live as you call us to live in ways that seek to alleviate suffering and hurt and harm. So wherever we go, God, we ask for your guidance and we ask for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Jesus gathered his friends together that night, he shared communion, which we will share together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed be your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit appointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. He healed the sick and fed the hungry and ate with sinners. We proclaim Christ's death on the cross for our sins. And we pray that we might be united with Christ and his sacrifice for us and so be delivered from our slavery to sin and death. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. There are several